Today, markets react to red light warnings from AI, inflation, energy wars, and tariffs. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've noticed posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. Most markets posted weekly losses, dragged down by the winding conflict in the Middle East, concerns over heavy capital spending by major names such as Alphabet and Tesla on AI infrastructure, and a resurgence in trade tensions after the Trump administration imposed new tariffs. Plus, next week, we have the Federal Reserve's latest interest rate decision and a deluge of quarterly earnings as inflation looks set to build higher, something already showing in the rising yield on bonds. Markets show traders believe central banks are more likely to raise borrowing costs with a 1 in 3 chance of a rate hike from the Fed as soon as next week, and that will be a sea change decision from merely a week ago, while a move in September is more than fully priced in. Actually, there was carnage in hyperscaler bond land this week, with IG bond spreads exploding every day as credit investors refuse to fund memory chip purchases any longer. Credit default swaps are following hyperscalers and just hit record wides, led by a disintegration in Oracle and SPCX. And today, the so-called super safe name is finally ripped. It seems that bond markets have finally done funding this negative return on investment lunacy. And it's worth reflecting that the summer months in the normal course of events tend to be weak for the S&P 500, with the August to October seasonal returns often negative. In addition, US retail investors are now buying stocks at the slowest pace in more than 6 years, according to the latest data. Brent crude came back from $100 on Thursday to end at $98.70, but still up 34% over the past month, while liquid natural gas in Europe has risen 55% to 63.06. That's close to recent highs as the colder months now loom in the north. This will provide another inflationary jolt to economies worldwide, though the US is adding nearly 1 million barrels per day of extra oil production, including crude, condensates, and natural gas liquids, over the previous year. Certainly not as much as the wild shale years, but quite noticeable, and accelerating from the lows of late 2025. The Iran-backed Houthi militants in Yemen launched attacks at Saudi Arabian tankers in the Red Sea, and they pose a danger to ships transiting the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, another key choke point in the region apart from the Strait of Hormuz. With both vital waterways now under threat, worries over oil supply disruptions are being increased, hence the spike to $100 a barrel. With so many red lights on the board, it's no surprise to see markets uncertain, with the MSCI Asia ex Japan down 2.13% on Friday. The MSCI Global Index, though, was only slightly lower, while the Stoxx 600 in Europe actually rose for the week and is still up for the month. But the ASX 200 was down for the week, despite the high oil prices acting as a bit of a buffer for the Australian market. Wall Street on Friday ended mixed, in a meandering session, as the decline in oil prices and a surge in the real estate sector was offset by a fall in chip stocks. The benchmark S&P 500 index climbed 0.1% to 7,412, while the blue chip Dow added 0.5%, and the tech-heavy Nasdaq shed 0.6%. For the week, the S&P slipped 0.6%, the Nasdaq slipped 2.1%, and the Dow was down 0.4%. Market strategists say investors continue to demonstrate a relatively high level of complacency. The S&P 500, for example, has traded near 7,500 since the middle of May. The relative calm in the S&P 500 suggests that investors have learned that geopolitical crises are usually good buying opportunities, Wall Street veteran Ed Yardani said. It should be so again. This time, dip buyers are likely to bet that either Iran caves or President Donald Trump does. But right now, stock markets are still trying to come to grips with two things. the inflation impact of the Iran conflict, and how companies are navigating the ever-changing AI landscape. For the former, the surge in oil prices puts the Federal Reserve on watch for possible inflation spikes and does increase the odds of a rate hike this year. For the latter, a combination of worries over CapEx and memory prices have hurt former high-flying names in the trade and are splitting performance significantly. Results this week from Google's parent Alphabet, its shares down 7.7% for the week, and Tesla, down 17.8% for the week, show that investors have remained concerned that the billions being poured into AI may not be paying off. The quarterly report did little to calm concerns after the Google parent reported its first quarterly cash burn on record, and the electric vehicle manufacturer announced quarterly negative free cash flow for the first time since the first quarter of 2024. Ahead, the cash burn across AI is building. So who will fund it becomes the question, and at what price, and would it generate safe returns? These are really big questions, and that focus is set to intensify next week with Microsoft and Meta, Lam, Arm, and Qualcomm too, reporting on Wednesday, followed by Apple and Amazon on Thursday. But share price performances are definitely diverging between individual names. In a bright spot, results from Intel appeared to offer at least a glimpse into the benefits of the AI boom, due partially to demand for its chips used in cutting-edge AI agents, but its shares fell about 8% despite strong results. And tech stocks have been under pressure this week as investors grow increasingly uneasy about the multi-billion dollar spend on AI that has yet to yield conclusive evidence of paying off. Oh, and the news of ChatGPT agent hacking of Hugging Face, that's a kind of app store for artificial intelligence tools, announced on the 16th of July, did not help. OpenAI said its bot did the whole thing on its own, without permission. But the question is this a warning shot on AI, or was it more a publicity stunt? Well, who knows? The AI booms earlier in the year did help Wall Street to shake off the Middle East conflict and return to record levels. Chip stocks, one of the main contributors to the rally, drove the Philadelphia Semiconductor Index to a historic 18-day winning streak in April, with a record close of 14,634. But the gauge has seen a sharp pullback since, and last Friday it settled in bear market territory. This week it rebounded just a little with a gain of 1.2%. But the bounce back was largely driven by technical buying after such a sharp decline. The overall picture remains one of caution as investors fret over massive valuations and uncertain returns from the billions of dollars being poured into AI infrastructure, or the combined hardware and software stack needed to handle massive data and computing power used to build and train AI processes. The volatility index was down 0.7% to 1858, and gold futures for August delivery was up just a little to 4,055 US a troy ounce. That's snapping a two-week losing streak, as technical buying at around 4,000 US helped counter an increasingly bearish environment for the yellow metal amid soaring oil-driven inflationary concerns. And news that US President Donald Trump's administration will impose higher tariffs on goods from 60 trading partners didn't help the inflation picture, with 30-year Treasury yields near their highest since 2007, not far from a 19-year peak of 5.201%. And the German 10-year Bund yield, the benchmark for the Eurozone, held close to its highest level since 2011. And the benchmark 10-year US Treasury yield did tick down slightly to 4.678%, but it's still very high. Major currencies were steady against the dollar on Friday, although the dollar index jumped to 101.46. The yen was pinned near 40-year lows at 163.85 per dollar, drawing warnings from the US Treasury about excess volatility in the currency and from Japan's finance minister. The euro was at 1.1384 against the US dollar, and it slipped 0.6% for the week. The European Central Bank left rates unchanged on Thursday, but a September rate hike is about 7% priced in. President Christine Lagarde said the milder scenario now looks quite unlikely. Let's face it. Data on Friday offered a more optimistic economic outlook from surveys of business activity, which showed Germany's private sector returned to growth in July for the first time in 4 months, and contractions in France's private sector did ease a little. As a result, European shares closed higher on Friday as a rally in technology stocks led by German's software maker SAP outweighed the drag from the surge in oil prices and the fears about the US tariff threats. Even as investors worried that the inflationary fallout could force major central banks to keep interest rates higher for longer. The pan-European stock 600 inched up slightly with a 6.2% gain in the heavyweight SAP, which helped Germany's DAX rise 1.3% following the software firm's second quarter results. Meanwhile, Nest dropped 8% after the energy giant missed second quarter core profit below estimates. The S&P Global Flash Eurozone Composite PMI Output Index rose to 51.9 in July from June's 50. That's its highest level in 5 months and comfortably topping the 50.3, which was forecast. A reading above 50 indicates an expansion in economic activity. France's CAC 40 and London's FTSE closed 0.9% up each, though sterling fell 1% for the week, its worst performance since mid-June on fiscal worries after Andy Burnham, the seventh new prime minister in the UK in a decade, reaffirmed his commitment to follow his predecessor Keir Starmer's fiscal rules. He also built out his new cabinet, with his appointments closely watched by traders in the UK. Burnham's appointment of former Defence Secretary John Healey as UK Chancellor of the Exchequer is broadly positive for markets, though the new government has limited room for tax cuts or higher spending, according to Citi. Healey may need to play bad cop by delivering tougher fiscal messages, leaving Burnham to take a more publicly supportive position. The arrangement could resemble the relationship between David Cameron and George Osborne during the post-financial crisis austerity period. One possible policy is an increase in the personal allowance for income tax. The measure could support household incomes but would reduce government revenue, requiring spending cuts, higher taxes elsewhere, or stronger growth. Markets will focus on whether Healey can preserve fiscal discipline while funding defence priorities and delivering Burnham's domestic commitments. So let's see how the spin morphs into policy action ahead. Asian stocks fell sharply on Friday, with Japan and South Korea leading regional losses after those tariff changes. Japan's Nikkei 225 slumped 3.2%, extending losses for a third straight week, while the Kospi tumbled 5.8%, easing gains made earlier in the week following stronger than expected second quarter GDP data. South Korea actually bore the brunt of the regional sell-off, with heavyweight chip makers tracking weakness in US peers after investors reacted cautiously to this week's technology earnings. Japan's decline came even as data showed core inflation picked up in June but remained below the Bank of Japan's 2% target, keeping expectations intact that policymakers will proceed cautiously with further rate hikes. Core CPI inflation, which excludes volatile fresh food prices, rose 1.6% year-on-year, according to government data on Friday. The print was in line with expectations and remained below the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target. A core reading that excludes both fresh food and energy prices fell to 1.7% in June from 1.8% in the prior month. The print, of course, is closely watched by the Bank of Japan as a gauge of underlying inflation. Headline CPI rose to 1.7% year over year from 1.5% in the prior month. That's the highest CPI reading for the year. So inflation picked up but remained relatively subdued thanks to government subsidies on fuel and utilities, which have shielded the public from the high commodity prices stemming from the Middle East. Friday's reading comes just days before the Bank of Japan meeting, where the central bank is widely expected to leave interest rates unchanged amid languid headline inflation. The Bank of Japan hiked interest rates to a 31-year high back in June. Hong Kong's Hang Seng and mainland China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 both fell about 1.3%. Despite losses on Friday, China's CSI 300 snapped a four-week losing streak, up 3.2% for the week, as investors position for next week's Politburo meeting, where policymakers are expected to unveil additional measures to support growth following weaker second quarter economic data. Looking ahead to next week, Investors will indeed monitor China's July manufacturing PMI for fresh clues on factory activity ahead of that meeting. Taiwan is expected to report another quarter of export-driven GDP growth, while South Korea's July trade data will provide an early read on regional demand after June's stronger than expected export performance. Australian shares fell on Friday after renewed Middle East tensions propelled that oil back to $100. And Wall Street's concerns over spending on AI whacked the domestic technology sector. The ASX 200 fell 0.8% to end the week down 0.3%, with 7 out of 11 sectors in the red. Energy stocks gained from the higher oil price, buffering the Australian exchange from further losses. The technology sector, though, was hit hardest, with WiseTech Global, Xero, and Codan all dropping more than 4%. While NextDC fell 3.6% to $13.42, Technology One 3.9% to $27.11, Megaport 3.3% to $18.47, and Life360 down 4.4% to $23.07. The Australian resources sector also got hit, with BHP down 2.9% to $58.85, Rio Tinto 1.7% to $160, and Fortescue down 1% to $18.57. And gold miners sank too, as the price of bullion fell as much as 2.2% over the week. Rising energy prices fueled bets that the US Federal Reserve would tighten monetary policy to contain inflation. Northern Star dropped 3.9% to $19.93. Evolution Mining fell 2.4% to $11.29. Genesis Minerals was down 4.4% to $5.87. Perseus Mining sank 5.6% to $4.76. Greatland Resources down 6.4% to $10. And Capricorn Metals down 6.1% to $11.90. Now on the flip side, a surging crude price did send energy stocks higher, with Woodside up 1.8% to $30.37. And Santos at 1.5% to $7.97. And in financials, CBA was last at $124.03. ANZ was at $36.47. NAB was at $40.39. And Westpac at $37.14. All, frankly, pretty impervious, so far at least, on the reported slowing mortgage and property market. In company news, Cochlear gained 0.5% to $111.61. after announcing it will be able to import its products into the US duty-free following the completion of a government investigation. While the announcement provides welcome clarity around US market access and avoids additional cost inflation, it does not alter the company's more fundamental near-term challenges, said Morgan's analyst Derek Jelzik. ASX Limited fell nearly 1.2% to $54.33, after the market operator announced that its chief financial officer, who joined in 2022, is going to retire. And James Hardie shares eased 0.2% as Jardine analyst Daniel Sykes cut his rating for the building products company from overweight to neutral, citing increased risks to the construction sector. So true. The Aussie was at 69.83 US cents and 52.41 UK pence, while the two-year bond rose significantly this week to 4.676% after stronger employment data reinforced the likelihood of another RBA rate rise in August. Now in crypto, Bitcoin edged lower on Friday, hit by a broader decline in risk appetite amid heightened Middle East tensions and uncertainty over a raft of new US trade tariffs. Bitcoin was last at $64,051, down again over the week, as broader losses in equity markets amid a rout in high-flying technology and AI stocks also limited appetite for crypto. Still, Bitcoin was aided by some improvements in capital flows this week, with spot exchange-traded funds sitting at their best weekly inflow since early May, according to data from So Value. Broader crypto prices fell on Friday too, with world number two crypto Ether down 1.2% to 1,859.3, while XRP shed 1.8% to 1.0888. Now, it's worth thinking about this. Be warned, retail traders' obsessions with whatever is the net hot thing in the market, often associated with the acronym YOLO, for you only live once, is misfiring in a month where momentum went from the market's darlings to its punching bag. The strategy, which involves buying the stocks that are rising the most and shorting the biggest decliners is the worst performer against 11 quant factors, which are tracked by Bloomberg, at least so far in July. A basket of 50 stocks favored by amateur investors, which includes names like Robinhood, Markets, and Marvel Technology, has plunged 13% so far in July, as on track for the worst month since 2022. And the Jefferies basket of Russell 1000 firms with the highest retail participation has lost more than a quarter of its value since June. A confluence of worries is likely behind the ordeal in the momentum trade. First, uncertainty about the payoff from massive AI investments has prompted hedge funds to unwind their tech positions at a record pace. And then renewed war with Iran and worries about the Federal Reserve's interest rate path further soured investor appetite for the trade that had become dangerously crowded. A sharp sell-off in the momentum trade has prompted several trading desks in Wall Street to advise their clients to, guess what, buy the dip. But they would say that, wouldn't they, of course, because they profit from trading volume, not necessarily price movements. Just remember the red lights of the risks board. They're all showing bright at the moment. So again, caution, I think, is warranted. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.